It's taken from Ephesians 3, 1-8a, and it's taken from the New Revised Standard Version, so this presumably is the most up-to-date interpretation of what Paul was saying. And it's all in where I put the commas and the full stops. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Christ Jesus, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mike. So I'm just going to pray for Phil as he comes and speaks to us. Lord, we thank you for Phil. We thank you for his gifts, his passions, for his character. And we thank you for the role that you've given him at Scargill and for the amazing work that you're doing there among a fantastic group of people. We pray for him this morning as he speaks to us that what you have put on his heart to share with us here at Starbeck will be what you want to say, and that we will be able to receive it. And we pray for us in the coming months as well as we prepare for our weekend away and as we look forward to all that you're doing and saying amongst us as a congregation, that we may better know you, that we may better walk with you, that we may better bless our community and those that you call us to. In Jesus' name, amen.
Phil. It's quite easy today, isn't it? It's Phil and Phil. It's really quite good. Morning, everybody. So we're very much looking forward to seeing many of you at the end of April, I believe. Just to remind you of the sort of place you're coming to. Here it is. Oh, no, not that one. That one. There you go. Isn't that beautiful? You can't see any of that this morning. It's all in mist and rain. I have to say, I would have been better coming in a canoe this morning than in a car. It was very rainy indeed. But here is Scargill. How many of you have been to Scargill before? Oh, wow, my goodness. So you all know the place probably better than I do. So it's been there now, Scargill, as a Christian community since 1959. And some of you may know the history of Scargill. It sadly shut in 2008. But there's a real sense that God hadn't finished with the place. Isn't that wonderful? That God with us, he's never finished with us either. He wasn't finished with Scargill, and it was very much resurrected with a new bunch of trustees a new vision. And at the heart of that was lives shared, lives transformed, with Jesus at the centre. At the moment, with all the sanitising we do, I feel like changing it to peace, love and sanitise, but it's lives shared, lives transformed, with Jesus at the centre. My wife, we moved there in 2010 to really begin the community again, to begin the ministry again. So we're now just starting our 13th year. And before that, I was a vicar in inner city London. Began with 13 years in Hackney. And then, 9 years in Hackney and 13 years in a place called Halsden in northwest London, quite near Wembley or Paddington, depending where you're looking. And then God calls us to the Yorkshire Dales. Quite a contrast. And so we are a community at Scargill. Okay. There we go. We're a community at Scargill. If I press this one, another picture should come up. Oh, yeah, it's here. Look, I've got a little monitor here. So this is the bunch of people you're going to come and join us with. I hope you don't put you off. This is the community at Scargill. We are an ecumenical community. We have people from all denominations, from Pentecostal, Lutheran, Baptist, Anglican, and Catholic. We are together. We're an international community. And one of the things that we have learnt together is that being in community is enriching and very difficult. Some people think it must be like heaven here at Scargill. It must be like love, peace and joy all the time. Sadly, it isn't, because as we well know, when you rub Christians together, you soon find a human being and in need of constant forgiveness and love and understanding. So I wonder how you're feeling about life at the moment. If you're weary and a little bit tired, then I think that's probably what the majority of us are feeling at the moment. And it's wonderful that when you come in April, we'll be looking at this wonderful verse from Isaiah. It's going to be the one that's going to sort of run through our theme for the weekend. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And I don't know about you, I have known great weariness these last 18 months, 2 years. And on top of that, I have felt a bit of fear and I have been a bit scared. And to be honest, in the days that are to come, which are still unknown really, aren't they, as we go forward, the future is hard to see, still feel a little bit weary and tired, and if I was honest, a bit scared. And I found this little picture that really sort of described, that someone sent to me, he said, this is why we all feel weary. This is what the last 2 years have been like. If the green bits are the life-giving bits, how many can you see? There hasn't been that many, has there? This is where we've been journeying all around the world in this country. This is where we've been journeying the last 2 years. A lot of lockdowns, a lot of tears, steps, lots of red, lots of orange, and very little green. So it's not surprising that we are feeling, most of us, there will be those of us who aren't, and that's absolutely fine, but the majority of us have been feeling weary and tired. And what I want to say to you this morning is that there is a narrative that God gives us that breaks through that weariness and fear that we may be feeling. God breaks through, often in places that seems to be places of wilderness. And what I want to speak about today is actually that our God is always, cannot help himself, is part of his DNA, his character, and that is that he is always generous. Generous with his love, his forgiveness, always wanting his people to be uplifted and strengthened. Some years ago, Di and I went to Manchester, and at Manchester they had one of these walks around the city. It was like a Lenten walk, and in the town hall and other big churches, they had art installations. And we went into St. Anne's, I don't know if you know St. Anne's, right in the middle of Manchester there, and there was this art installation. I mean, I thought, wow, that looks amazing. Because St Anne's, as you can tell, is probably even taller, higher than this church. And you can imagine that, all those wonderful art installation. And you're probably thinking, what is it? Well, actually, it is representing the giving of manna in the wilderness. And I decided to go underneath it to take another picture. And I thought, wow, this looks really great. They look like, it must have been an Anglican thing, because they're like communion wafers coming down. I'm sure manna wasn't like that. But it's a wonderful example of God's generosity, that in a place of wilderness, in a place that is scary, that a place that is fearful, God comes with his generosity, with a different narrative, the narrative of grace, a narrative of love. No wonder the psalmist can speak in 136, that beautiful psalm, with that wonderful refrain, his love endures forever. The people of God, coming out of a place of scarcity, out of Egypt, into the place of wilderness, thinking, what on earth are we doing here? Is the God who meets them with such generosity, faithfulness, and love. An unexpected place, isn't it, to experience generosity. Sigurd Kode is one of my favourite painters, and he was a priest painter, and he painted the giving of manna, and this is what it looked like. Here are the people of God all looking at what is us. As he's holding it, he said, what is it? What is it? And in fact, if you look at the Hebrew word, which is manu, it means, what is it? So manna is, what is it? It's a wonder bread. It's a wonder bread that God gives his people in a place of scarcity, in a place of fear. And so we come on to our wonderful reading from Ephesians chapter 1. And I particularly love this reading, and thank you for reading it so well. And it is very complicated reading, of which I'm not going to go into every single word and trying to understand everything that Paul was saying. But what I will say about this is that we are grateful that in the English there are full stops and commas. Because in the actual Greek, Paul sort of just goes, blah! It all comes out in one complete sentence. There's no full stop. There's no comma. From verses 3 to 14, it's just like Paul just gets carried away or gets lifted into what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and his amazing generosity to us as his children. It's amazing, isn't it? I can't believe that wonderful passage, that there's no full stop and comma. I don't know how Paul sort of, and went for it. But there's two words I want to just speak about in that passage. Just two words, and they're two verbs. And they're two verbs that speak about God's generosity and grace. And the first one is bestowed. We read, freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Jesus, this grace and this love has been freely bestowed. Now, bestowed's a funny old word, isn't it? It's not one I normally use in my everyday dealings with people, do you? Or, you know, bestowed. It's not one that I normally use. But the word bestowed is very hard for us in the English language to translate. When it says he bestowed, freely bestowed, it's like being poured out, his love being poured out. It's like being drenched. And any of us who have walked any distance this morning to come to church may have been a little bit drenched. But it's like being poured, water being poured all over us. It's like water, buckets of water. It's like somebody with a hose hosing us down. It's that sort of understanding of the word bestowed. And it's only used twice in the New Testament. And it reminds us of Jesus, John's Gospel, when Jesus is described as the one who comes with grace upon grace. Paul's use of the verb bestowed signals an exuberant artisan well. It's an eruption of grace. Wow! In the Holy Spirit, it's this grace that you and I are caught up in. This generosity of God bestowed upon us. And the other word I'd like to talk about is the one at the end of the passage where Paul speaks about lavished. Now, this is a word we are quite familiar with. Lavished. I love the word lavished. This is what my grandchildren think of the word lavished when it comes to chocolate spread. It's lavished. I wonder what words conjure up in your mind if I was to say to you the word lavished. What would be the words that you would perhaps speak back at me? Wonder what the first word is. Over the top, generous, extravagant. Sorry?
Wanted,
thank you. Actually, anybody want to shout out a word? If I say the word lavished, what do you say back at me? Sorry?
Plenty,
thank you.
More than enough.
Any more?
Abundance.
One more? Irresistible. I would say that's very true about chocolate spread. If the word bestowed is only used twice in the New Testament, the other time it's used, interestingly, is when the Holy Spirit comes upon Mary at the Annunciation, when Gabriel comes to Mary. That's the only other time it's used, and it's used here. The word lavish, though, is used 78 times in the New Testament, and 45 times by Paul. He just can't get enough of this word to describe God's grace and his love upon us. He lavishingly, if you like, uses it. And so the word bestowed and the word lavish help us to begin to understand what God has done for us in Jesus Christ and has given us freely through the Holy Spirit. He's calling us to a different narrative to that we hear perhaps in our culture, in our society, which is speaking often about scarcity. There's not enough. We, as the people of God, are called to a different narrative, to speak about the God of generosity, the God who comes to places of weariness and tiredness, and where there's scarcity. There's a theologian called Walter Brueggemann, a wonderful Old Testament theologian, and he says this: the journey from anxious scarcity through miraculous abundance to a neighbourly common good has been peculiarly entrusted to the church, to you and I. We are called, aren't we, because of the hope that's in us, in Jesus Christ, his generous love to us, to be a generous offering to our community, showing a different narrative, a different way of seeing. This is one of my favourite paintings, and it's speaking about the generosity of God. that Jesus always shows. He can't help himself. Whatever Jesus did, he always seemed to do more than enough. I mean, water into wine, for instance. All that wine, I worked out it was 900 bottles. It's not bad going. Some might call that irresponsible. But 900 bottles. Anyway, all that Jesus did was always generous. And the feeding of the 5,000 was generous. And in John's Gospel, we get this wonderful packed lunch, if you like, that the young boy brings, the young man brings to Jesus. And I love this painting because he's almost saying to Jesus, is this enough? Will this do? And sometimes I think what we feel that we can offer seems so small that we feel, will this make any difference whatsoever? What I offer, can it make any difference? Whatever that may be. And the gospel story says, yes, in my grace that's so bestowed and lavished upon us, it is enough. And it was enough, wasn't it? To feed 5,000 men, the families, the children, to feed them all. I rather like this packed lunch, by the way. I don't know if you can see there. Mars bars. Just think about that. 12 baskets of Mars bars. Now you're talking. Coming down to finish now. I just want to show you one more painting and then tell a story. One of the great things about Jesus, I was just saying, is that he shows us the abundance of God's grace lavished upon us, bestowed upon us. And never more so when he cooked breakfast for his disciples, the resurrected Jesus cooking breakfast for his disciples. And you know, they have that wonderful catch of fish before he cooks breakfast. And Peter puts his cloak on and jumps in the water and goes to be with Jesus on the beach. This painting by John Riley is called The Miraculous Catch from that story. I wonder what you notice. You don't need to shout out anything. I wonder what you notice. I wonder what you see when you look at that painting. I can just tell you just a couple of things that I can see. I see abundance. I see that we are caught up in the life of God himself. That you and I are invited to be part of this abundant, generous God. I see movement. I see life. It's amazing that each one of us here today are caught up in this love, this generous love. And so to finish with a rabbinic story, and it's a story of two brothers. Time before time, when the world was young, two brothers shared a field and a mill, each night dividing evenly the grain they had ground together during the day. One brother lived alone. The other had a wife and a large family. Now the single brother thought to himself one day, "It isn't really fair that we divide the grain evenly. I have only myself to care for, but my brother has children to feed." So each night he secretly took some of his grain to his brother's granary to see that he never went without. But the married brother said to himself one day, "It isn't really fair that we divide the grain evenly, because I have children to provide for me in my old age, but my brother has no one. What will he do when he's old?" So every night, he secretly took some of his grain to his brother's granary. And as a result, both of them always had their supply of grain mysteriously replenished each morning. Then one night, they met each other halfway between their houses and suddenly realized what had been happening and embraced each other in love. The story is that God witnessed their meeting and proclaimed, "This is a holy place, and here it is that my temple shall be built." And so it was, the holy place where God is made known to his people is the place where human beings discover each other in love. Gracious God, we bless you and thank you for your wonderful nature of being so generous, and that in your love and grace we get caught up in it and are part of it. And gracious God, however we're feeling, if we're feeling tired and weary, may your Holy Spirit move in our hearts. May we know your generous love bestowed and lavished upon us. Come, Holy Spirit, and give us a good drenching in your love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.